This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Darren Sykes? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Darren Sykes was born sometime around 1970 and lived in Yorkshire, England. He worked for a carpet company as a salesman. A woman named Claire Throssell worked for the same company. She met Darren on October 19, 1996. Darren asked Claire out on a date, but she rejected him, believing he was arrogant and overconfident. This rejection did not discourage Darren. He sent Claire a rose every day for 3 weeks until she gave in. Within a year, the couple became engaged. In 1998, they married. They lived in a semi-detached house in the small town of Penistone, which is 15 miles north of Sheffield. On March 31, 2002, they had a son named Jack. On January 9, 2005, they had a son named Paul. Darren was aggressive and violent during the course of the marriage. During an incident in April of 2014, he attempted to punch his son Jack. To protect Jack, Claire pushed him into his bedroom and closed the door. Darren punched Claire instead and knocked her down the stairs. At this point, Claire decided to leave Darren. She would later say, quote, "I realized then that as hard as it was to leave, I didn't want my boys thinking that's how you treat somebody in a relationship. And I didn't want them to see me hurt because that broke their hearts," unquote. After Claire filed for divorce, Darren stalked her and threatened to harm her. On one occasion, Claire found that one of her tires had been slashed. Claire managed to get an emergency custody order, which prevented Darren from seeing Jack and Paul. It only lasted for 4 months. The couple went to court to fight for custody. In the waiting room, Darren glared at Claire and accused her of being manipulative. He explained to her that she should tell her sons that it was her fault they were not seeing their father. Darren also said that Claire would never have the boys. She was not going to take them away from him. In July 2014, Darren was granted 5 hours of unsupervised visitation per week. Claire was not happy about this decision because she believed that Darren was dangerous. As it turns out, her assessment was accurate. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On October 22, 2014, Claire drove Jack and Paul to school. That evening, when Claire returned home from work, she missed her sons by 5 minutes. Darren had taken both Jack and Paul for a scheduled visit. Upon entering her residence, Claire noticed that her sons had left their cell phones behind. When Darren arrived at his house with Jack and Paul, he lured them into the attic with chocolate bars and a new model train set. At about 6:30 p.m., as the boys played with the train set in the attic, Darren poured gasoline all around the house and set about 16 fires. He placed a chair under the front door handle to prevent people from entering the house. 44-year-old Darren entered the attic as the house burned, intent on dying along with his sons. Both he and 9-year-old Paul were overcome by smoke and incapacitated. 12-year-old Jack tried to rescue his brother Paul. He made his way over to him and opened the hatch in the attic to escape, but fell to the first floor and into the fire. Emergency responders arrived and found Darren, Jack, and Paul severely injured. They were all transported to a hospital in Sheffield. Jack told firefighters that his father deliberately set the fire. The police picked up Claire and took her to see her son Paul, who was moments from death. Claire was holding Paul the moment he died. Her last words to him were, quote, "Don't leave me, Paul. Don't leave me. I love you," unquote. Darren Sykes died about 20 minutes after Paul. Claire was informed that her son Jack was alive, but he had sustained burns to 56% of his body and was in a medically induced coma. Jack had been transferred to a hospital in Manchester. Claire stayed with Jack in the hospital until he died 5 days later, on October 27. Her last words to him were, quote, "Be at peace. I love you," unquote. Investigators discovered that Darren had planned the murders for at least a few days in advance. Darren told people that he believed the world was against him, and he would frequently talk about his sons. One coworker said that he did this so much, Darren appeared to be obsessed. On October 20, 2 days before the murders, Darren met with a social worker. She determined that he was not a danger to his children, even though she found him to be agitated and unreasonable. A half hour later, Darren was captured on surveillance video purchasing the gasoline cans he later used to set the fire. On the day of the murders, Darren parked his van away from his house so nobody would realize he was home. He sent the same text message to six people, saying that he was going to be at peace.
Sie wollen endlich durchstarten und planen den nächsten Investitionsschritt? Dann setzen Sie auf den Sachsenkredit Universal der Sächsischen Aufbaubank. Mit einem Tilgungszuschuss von bis zu 10% für KMU, Existenzgründer, Freiberufler, große privatgeführte Unternehmen sowie Ärzte und Apotheker im ländlichen Raum. Für Investitionen bis zu 20 Millionen Euro. Mit erleichtertem Zugang zur Förderung. Alle Infos online unter sab.sachsen.de/sachsenkredit-universal.
Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. The early part of the relationship between Darren and Claire was characterized by grand gestures on the part of Darren. He would often send Claire flowers and purchase extravagant gifts for her. This behavior, which is sometimes referred to as love bombing, is associated with both grandiose and vulnerable narcissism. Darren's over-the-top expressions of love may have contributed to Claire disregarding or minimizing his myriad negative traits. Item number two, the phase featuring grand romantic gestures did not last too long. It was soon replaced by controlling and obsessive behavior. For example, Darren would view Claire's emails and look at her cell phone. One day, Claire noticed that a letter, which had been addressed to her, had been opened. When she asked Darren about it, he stated that there were no secrets between them. Darren frequently called Claire at work to communicate information that was trivial, like he was just checking in on her. Eventually, the number of phone calls reached 40 a day. When Claire tried to spend time alone, like hanging out with her girlfriends, Darren would show up wherever they were and sit down. Claire's friends stopped inviting her because Darren was intrusive and disturbing. This contributed to Claire being isolated. Item number three, over time, Darren became violent. One time, when Claire and Darren were getting ready to go to a party, Darren insulted her. When she responded by saying she would go by herself, he punched her in the arm. Darren wanted to have sex every night and would not take no for an answer. Claire was the victim of multiple assaults of a sexual nature. She was preparing to leave Darren when she became pregnant with Jack. Claire hoped that things would get better as they built a family, but Darren's behavior did not improve. Item number four, Darren appeared to be envious of his sons, Jack and Paul, and they were targets of his aggressive behavior. He struck them on multiple occasions. Paul accused his father of grabbing him by the throat. On another occasion, Darren hurt Paul while they were wrestling and said that Paul needed to toughen up. On at least one occasion, Darren forced Paul to eat off the floor because Paul didn't finish his food fast enough. Jack was not immune from Darren's rage either. One time when Jack was playing the trumpet, Darren physically attacked him. The majority of Darren's interactions with his children were negative. He did not spend quality time with them. Even though he appeared to despise them, Darren was not open to the idea of being separated from his sons. He warned Claire that he would never tolerate her taking Jack and Paul away from him. Item number five, considering Darren's terrible behavior, some wonder why Claire did not leave him years earlier. Like many people trapped in this type of relationship, Claire hoped that things would get better, and she didn't have the financial resources to escape. Furthermore, Darren was often apologetic, like he would send flowers after perpetrating an attack. On one occasion, he even took anger management classes, which seemed to help, but the effects were only temporary. Most domestic violence offenders do not escalate to murder. Even though Darren was aggressive, Claire did not initially believe he would commit homicide. It's worth noting that Claire did eventually leave Darren, and she warned the authorities that he was dangerous. They did not listen to her despite clear warning signs. For example, Darren had a history of controlling behavior, he had been arrested for attacking a neighbor, and Jack and Paul told social workers they were afraid of him. Item number 6, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Darren was insecure, self-centered, resentful, vindictive, controlling, manipulative, pessimistic, cynical, cold, callous, petty, violent, angry, sadistic, emotionally dysregulated, full of shame, and had a sense of entitlement. His narcissistic traits were primarily on the vulnerable side. Darren was a victim narcissist. He drove Claire and his sons away from him through his aggressive behavior, then complained when they didn't want to spend time with him. A lack of insight prevented Darren from understanding that he was the problem. Darren had a lack of empathy, but was able to empathize with criminal offenders. One time when he and Claire were watching the news about a case where a father killed his children, Darren said that he understood why the man did it. Fathers are not treated the same way as mothers. In October 2014, Darren felt like he was losing everything. He believed that nobody was listening to his side of the story, and as a father, the deck was stacked against him in court. The system was rigged, and he did not have a chance of obtaining justice. The number one target for Darren was Claire, because he blamed her for his desperate situation. In his mind, Darren believed that if Claire had only stayed with him, none of this would have happened. Instead, she defied his authority and threw him out like garbage. Darren wanted Claire to experience the same pain that he was feeling. He wanted to teach her a lesson, show her how much she had harmed him. This is why he selected Jack and Paul to murder. He could have simply killed Claire, but that would not accomplish his goal. Claire needed to be alive in order to suffer. Darren knew that killing Jack and Paul would be the most devastating action he could take to harm Claire. He took the love that Claire had for her sons and used it against her. His goal was for Claire to blame herself, to look at the carnage and say, "I caused this by not empathizing with Darren, by not loving him enough, by not staying with him." This is how distorted Darren's thinking was. He died believing others would view him as the victim and Claire as the monster. Ultimately, Claire did regret a decision, just not the one that Darren identified as the problem. She regretted not walking away from Darren at the first sign he was a victim narcissist. Now moving to my final thoughts. Vulnerable narcissists who play the victim do not make ideal romantic partners, but usually are not violent. If a vulnerable narcissist happens to have anger and impulse control problems, on top of being self-centered, insecure, vindictive, and sadistic, the risk of violence is dramatically higher. A woman involved with a man who has vulnerable narcissism may tell herself that it's not bad because the worst he can do is hurt her, like she is willing to suffer with him. It's worth the risk. This may be true when talking about just two people, but if a vulnerable narcissist has children, he could see them as a way to inflict unimaginable pain.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.